I will be reading Chapter 41, The Tears of a King. Despero found the king in the Peas room, sitting on his daughter's bed, clutching the tapestry of her life to his chest. He was weeping, although weeping really is too small a word for the activity that the king had undertaken. Tears were cascading from his eyes. A small puddle had formed at his feet. I am not exaggerating. The king, it seemed, was intent on crying himself a river. Reader, have you ever seen a king cry? When the powerful are made weak, when they are revealed to be human, to have hearts, their diminishment is nothing short of terrifying. You can be sure that Despero was terrified, absolutely, but he spoke up anyway. "Sir," the mouse said to the king. But the king did not hear him, and as Despero watched, King Philip dropped the tapestry and took his great golden crown from his lap and used it to beat himself on the chest over and over again. The king, as I have already mentioned, had several faults. He was nearsighted. He made ridiculous, unreasonable, difficult to enforce laws. And much in the way of Migory Sow, he was not exactly the sharpest knife in the drawer. But there was one extraordinary, wonderful, admirable thing about the king. He was a man who was able to and willing to love with the whole of his heart. And just as he had loved the queen with the whole of his heart, so too he loved his daughter with the whole of it, even more than the whole. He loved the Princess P with every particle of his being, and she had been taken from him. But what Despero had come to say to the king had to be said, and so he tried again. "Excuse me," he said. He wasn't certain, really, how a mouse could address a king. "Sir," did not seem like a big enough word. Despero thought about it for a moment. He cleared his throat. He spoke as loudly as he was capable of speaking. "Excuse me, most very honored head person." King Philip stopped beating his crown against his chest. He looked around the room. "Down here, most very honored head person," said Despero. The king, tears still falling from his eyes, looked at the floor. He squinted. "Is that a bug speaking to me?" he asked. "No," said Despero. "I'm a mouse. We met before." "A mouse!" bellowed the king. "A mouse is but one step removed from a rat." "Sir," said Despero, "most very honored head person, please, you have to listen to me. This is important. I know where your daughter is."
"You do?"
said the king. He sniffed. He blew his nose on his royal cloak.
"Where?"
he said, and he bent over to look more closely at Despero. One tear, two tear, three enormous king-sized tears fell with an audible plop onto Despero's head and rolled down his back, washing away the white of the flower and revealing his own brown fur.
"Sir, most very honored head person, sir," said Despero as he wiped the king's tears out of his own eyes.
"She's in the dungeon."
"Liar," said the king.
He sat back up. He knew it.
"All rodents are liars and thieves. She is not in the dungeon. My men have searched the dungeon."
"But no one really knows the dungeon except the rats, sir. There are thousands of places where she could be hidden, and only the rats would know. Your men would never be able to find her if the rats did not want her to be found."
"Ah," said the king, and he clapped his hands over his ears. "Do not speak to me of rats and what they know," he shouted. "Rats are illegal. Rats are against the law. There are no rats in my kingdom. They do not exist."
"Sir, most very honored head person, that is not true. Hundreds of rats live in the dungeon of this castle. One of them has taken your daughter, and if you will send..." The king started humming.
"I can't hear you,"
He stopped to shout, I cannot hear you anyway. What you say is wrong because you are a rodent and therefore a liar. He started to hum again. And then he stopped and said, I have hired fortune tellers and a magician. They are coming from a distant land. They will tell me where my beautiful daughter is. They will speak the truth. A mouse cannot speak the truth. I am telling you the truth, said Despero, I promise. But the king would not listen. He sat with his hands over his ears. He hummed loudly. His big fat tears rolled down his face and fell to the floor. Despero sat and stared at him in dismay. What should he do now? He put a nervous paw up to his neck and pulled at the red thread, and suddenly his dream came flooding back. The dark and the light and the knight swinging his sword, and the terrible moment when he had realized that the suit of armor was empty. And then, reader, as he stood before the king, a wonderful, amazing thought occurred to the mouse. What if the suit of armor had been empty for a reason? What if it had been empty because it was waiting for him? You know me. That was what the king in his dream had said. Yes, said Despero out loud in wonder. I do know you. I can't hear you, sang the king. I have to do it myself, said the mouse. I will be the knight in shining armor. There is no other way. It has to be me. Despero turned. He left the weeping king. He went to find the Threadmaster. Chapter 42, The Rest of the Thread. The Threadmaster was sitting atop his spool of thread, swinging his tail back and forth and eating a piece of celery. Well, look here, he said when he saw Despero. Would you just look at that? It's the mouse who loved a human princess back from the dungeon in one piece. The old Threadmaster would say that I didn't do my job well, but that because you're still alive, I must have tied the knot, the thread incorrectly. But it is not so. And how do I know it is not so? Because the thread is still around your neck. He nodded and took a bite of his cereal. I need the rest of it, said Despero. The rest of what? Your neck? The rest of the thread. Well, I cannot just hand it over to any old mouse, said the Threadmaster. They say red thread is special, sacred, though I myself, after having spent so much time with it, know it for what it is. What is it? Said Despero. Thread, said the Threadmaster. He shrugged and took another loud bite of celery. Nothing more, nothing less. But I pretend, friend. Oh, I pretend. And what, may I ask, do you intend to do with the thread? Save the princess. Ah, yes, the princess, the beautiful princess. That's how this whole story started, isn't it? I have to save her. There is no one but me to do it. It seems to be the way with most things. No one to do the really disagreeable jobs except oneself. And how exactly will you use a spool of thread to save a princess? A rat has taken her and hidden her in the dungeon, so I have to go back to the dungeon, and it is full of twists and turns and hidden chambers. Like a maze, said the Threadmaster. Yes, like a maze, and I have to find my way to her, wherever she be hidden, and then I have to lead her back out again, and the only way to do that is with the thread. Gregory, the jailer, tied a rope around his ankle so that he would not get lost. As the mouse said this, he shuddered, thinking of Gregory and his broken rope, dying, lost in the darkness. I, said Despero, I will use thread. The Threadmaster nodded. I see, he said. He took a meditative bite of celery. You, friend, are on a quest. I don't know what that is, said Despero. You don't have to know. You just have to feel compelled to do the thing, the impossible, important task at hand. Impossible? Said Despero. Impossible, said the Threadmaster. Important. He sat chewing his celery and staring somewhere past Despero, and then suddenly he leaped off his stool.
"Who am I to stand in the way of a quest?" he said. "Roll her away."
"I can have it?"
"Yes, for your quest." Despero put his front paws up and touched the spool. He gave it an experimental push forward.
"Thank you," he said, looking into the eye of the Threadmaster. "I don't know your name."
"Hovis."
"Thank you, Hovis. There's something else, something that belongs with the thread."
Hovis went into a corner and came back with a needle.
"You can use it for protection."
"Like a sword," said Despero. "Like a knight would have."
"Yes," said Hovis. He gnawed off a length of thread and used it to tie the needle around Despero's waist.
"Like so."
"Thank you, Hovis." He stood up on his hind legs, put his paws on Despero's shoulders, and leaned in close to him.
Despero smelled the sharp scent, clean scent of celery, as the Threadmaster bent his head, took hold of the thread around Despero's neck in his sharp teeth, and pulled on it hard.
"There," said Hovis, with the piece of thread broken and dropped to the ground.
"Now you're free. You see, you're not going into the dungeon because you have to. You're going because you choose to."
"Yes," said Despero, "because I'm on a quest."
The word felt good and right in his mouth.
Quest.
Say it, reader. Say the word quest out loud.
It is an extraordinary word, isn't it?
So small and yet so full of wonder, so full of hope.
"Goodbye," said Hovis, as Despero pushed the spool of thread out of the Threadmaster's hole. "I have never known a mouse who has made it out of the dungeon only to go back into it again. Goodbye, friend. Goodbye, mouse among mice."